Thank the Lord. Open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now turn over to Acts chapter 1 so you already have it. And I'm going to read something in Acts chapter 1 as well. And it's going on time right now. And it's 11:52. I got 8 minutes. 8 minutes to preach a 38-minute sermon. So I praise God, I won't go long, but I knew what I wanted to do this morning. I thank the Lord. Wasn't that an awesome song from the choir? I mean, thank God. And I wanted to have all of our staff say just a word. I appreciate them so very much. And then I share just the word of God with you this morning. I appreciate Charles singing on he's back in the back. I see him walking around the back there. He don't know if he can hear me or not. But he's homesick on Wednesday night. And Regina started Sunday night after church. I started Tuesday morning. And we both just kind of worked out of it late Thursday. But at any rate, Charles got up to sing, and I said, I know this is going to be a blessing. You will remember when I was sick trying to die in the hospital, they put me in an MRI thing, and they wanted to know if I wanted to hear any music. I was hurting. I said, I want some good gospel music. I thought I was going to die. They thought I was going to die. And they played Vince Gill, Go Rest High on the Mountain, Your Work on Earth is Through. So the first time I remember being homesick since then, Charles got up Wednesday night and sang, Go Rest High on the Mountain, Your Work on Earth is Through. I hope the Lord's not trying to tell me something. But I appreciate Charles singing. It was good, and I appreciate the good message again, Brother Tim. Boy, that was a good one. I enjoyed that, and thank him. I have said before, when we were building this building, God blessed us so in the old building, and the men of God, the church, prayed long hours before I ever came in regard to this piece of property. This piece of property is supposed to never, ever been sold out of the family. No hope would ever buy it. And I think the folk praying, and then Brother G.P. had some input, talked with a lady. But anyhow, God the Holy Ghost done it. And this piece of property was bought and paid for by the church before I ever got here. Their plan was to build a church here someday. And so God worked it around, and they'd have built it whether I got here or not. But the Lord let me come be here. And Brother T.G.'s back there. He's well today, and he was our chairman of the building committee and all those who helped him. And this building is a miracle. It's phenomenal. I mean, the way God worked and blessed, and it was all paid off. God blessed the church, and there was $440,000-something came in that was spent before we ever even borrowed a dime on it, and not counting the purchase of the land. And God was good, raised up different people to help in different ways. And then I think it was 850,000 that we close to, you know, closed in, dried, such it. That's what we borrowed. And we prayed, and I challenge you all the time. Now pray. And when we came down to the building and the sound system, this Joe Barry and Jim and all those who helped him and all helped them, and they coordinated everything, and they did all the sound system. We've got all the classrooms wired, and they're set up for internet down the road, or computers or whatever. And all you got back in the back, the sound room back there, that's as nice as anywhere you'd ever see, and the soundboard inside here. It's all phenomenal. But when we're talking about the money part of it, I told him, I said, listen, the only difference between a warehouse and a church is the power of the Holy Ghost and a good sound system. And so we got a good sound system, and God the Holy Ghost has been good and blessed us. But I'm going to tell you what makes the difference is the Spirit of God. Yeah. It's the Holy Ghost of God. I want us to keep reminded and be reminded we want to get closer to Him. He said, if you'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. But Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And He said, no man comes to the Father but by me, and no man comes to the Father except the Spirit of God draw him. And so that drawing, it is God's enabling us to get closer to Him. And so when it's all said and done, so if it wasn't that way, some of us are more disciplined than others. My son-in-law, John, he's working on his diet. Now, the Lord blessed me and jump-started mine and Regina's during the week, and that was a good thing. But at any rate, the thing is this, we had a little spaghetti and bread, garlic bread, and boy, it smelled so good. And John had been over Charles's, and we had just finished up. He came in He got, I watched him. He just got just a little bit of spaghetti and none of the garlic bread. And I said, I know she didn't eat much. He said, I'm trying to stay away from it. And he pointed at that last piece of garlic bread. He could see it, taste it right now, and I know he can. But he said, I love that death right there. And I said, you're very disciplined. And, you know, you and I, if it wasn't the fact that it had to be the Holy Ghost, some people are more disciplined than others, and they're more determined than others. And if they ever got to a point of spiritual level where they felt, you know, they were close to God, we'd have a tendency to brag about that. But the truth of the matter is, if we get close to Him at all, it's the Holy Ghost that does it, and He gets all the glory. We're very humbled. But I want us to be reminded that we've got to have Him. You can't coerce Him. You can't make Him do it. We can plead with Him to do it. And I want us to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God, mind the Holy Ghost, but we need never to ever forget that we must always be ye being filled. That's what it says in Ephesians, where he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It is being filled. Now, I'm conscious of the fact that I needed a physical touch to get back here this morning, but I also know I've got to have the anointing of God. I want to see God move in this church in an unusual way, different than we ever have. And I know I need God to move in my life differently than He ever has. And I want you to pray for me. With that said, and I've done talked up now most of my time. I got 2 minutes now. But notice in John chapter 3, I want to read this text I preached on last Sunday, verse 8. Isn't that a good number? 8's a good number, isn't it? 3, chapter 3 is the number of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 8 is the number, a new beginning. It's a new beginning when the Holy Ghost of God blows on you. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Anybody's ever got saved, they had to be born of the Spirit. Look over in Acts chapter 1 at verse number 8. And notice what it said. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Then over chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were gathered. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I'm going to leave off the reading there because I want to jump to the end of the chapter. And look down near the end of this chapter, all the way over to the end of chapter number 2. And I'll call your attention to verse number, let me just begin. Look with me, please, at verse number 42. No, verse 41, I'm sorry. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, praising God and having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, all of that in the end of chapter 2 is the result of what happened chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, 4, down through there. When the Holy Spirit of God that was promised came, will you bow with me for just a brief prayer? I promise you I'm not going to take just a few minutes. Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would come and breathe on us this morning. I pray, God, you'd move in the heart of your people. Our Father, in the first place, I pray, God, you'd awaken in every person here who's been saved and born of the Spirit of God, awaken in them a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, our Father, you'd cause them to want to work and operate and to walk in the Spirit. I pray, God, they could catch some glimpse of the supernatural things that could take place in their life. Our Father, if we were but filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and as Brother Tim said a while ago, just mind Him and let Him be in control. Oh, God, I pray for that. God, I pray you'd help me to put a away everything, lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset me. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. God, do it for this crowd here this morning, all our friends in the media audience. And I, Father, I confess before you, there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. God, do it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back in, if you will, in chapter number 2 and look at verse number 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I want you to look at those three words this morning in regard to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, a rushing and a mighty wind. Now, I'm going to go in a little bit of reverse order because I want to remind you of the wind. Last Sunday, if you were here, you'll remember that we talked about the wind blowing and the Greek words and the Hebrew words that identify that phrase. In the first place, that word is always used for the breath of life. Over in Acts chapter 2, he talks about the Holy Spirit of God coming. And my dear friend, he's given to us, my dear friend, in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, the breath of life. Do you remember when he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth? He had the form of a man, and he looked like a man. But God, the Bible said, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He experienced a birth. He was just a mass of formed dust until God breathed on him. And then when he did that, he had life and he had the capability of fellowship with God. And my dear friend, not until the Spirit of God comes inside of you, not until you're born again, can you know fellowship with God. In John chapter 3, that's exactly what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, a man must be born again. He's got to be born again. That is, he's got to have that new birth. It's not joining a church. It's not baptism. It's not aligning yourself some religious thing. Something real's got to happen in your life. And there's a life force when God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. He became something he was not prior to that breath. And when you get saved, you become something that you were not prior to that breath of God on you. You become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. There's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. You're born again. You become partakers of a divine nature. And thank God for that. Thank God for the wind. Thank God for the breath of heaven and how he breathed. Now listen, the Lord Jesus Christ breathed into Adam the breath of life. He got his disciples together earlier in the Gospels, and the Bible said, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. There was the breath of salvation and creation, and then there's the breath of commission. He sent them out. He commissioned them, and he knew they could not do what he wanted to do apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God. If they were going to have the mind of God, they had to have the Spirit of God. If they were going to have the power of God, they had to have the Spirit of God. If they were going to have the direction of God, they had to have the Spirit of God. He'll lead you. He'll show you. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he breathed on his disciples so they would have that. And then on the day of Pentecost, he kept his word. He said, don't leave there until you be anointed, until the Holy Spirit of God comes. But when the Spirit of God has come upon you, you shall receive power. And so at Pentecost, it is the wind, the breath that empowers. He gave great power. Now notice, just real quick, notice what it says. I mentioned about the wind, but now notice the word rushing. And I've just learned to just love these words and look at the words and the meaning. The word rushing denotes to bear oneself along as the wind and to bear everything in its presence with it. And it's like I talked about earlier, it's like a ship being blown by the wind, and that mighty rushing wind. It is that wind that propels. It is the wind that drives. It is the wind that activates. It is the wind that... In other words, you won't ever do anything for God without the Holy Spirit of God blowing on you. He'll propel you. He'll move you. He'll drive you. It is a rushing wind. And that word rushing has this connotation. It has to do with the idea of moving and moving like the wind. It's a rushing wind. It is a movable. It moves you. Some people say, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, you could if the Holy Spirit of God was helping you. And that's the key to it. You can have words on a piece of paper about what you ought to do and how you ought to live and what you ought to do, but you don't have capability to do that. The Bible said the natural man cannot be subject to the things of the law, and neither indeed can be. He can't do it. The man cannot do what God wants him to do, but the Holy Spirit of God can come along and He can carry you to do it. He can enable you to do it. That's why He breathed on His disciples. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit of God. They had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They'd heard the best preaching you could ever hear. They'd saw great miracles that no man ever saw. But God told them, you cannot accomplish now, even having been with Christ for 3.5 years, even having seen Him do all these great miracles, you cannot accomplish what you need to do without the Holy Spirit, because it is that rushing wind, the moving wind. But then notice this. Is the phrase mighty. Boy, this blessed, a fellow said one time, bless the hound out of me. It blessed me. This word mighty, you know what it means? This word has this, is that which carries or bears or lifts and carries. It is a mighty wind. It is that which lifts and carries. You're talking about the wind came along and blew everything away. It came and blowed the whole thing away. The tornado came and took everything away. And this mighty wind, a rushing wind, is that which propels or drives. But the mighty wind is that which lifts and carries. And my dear friend, listen, the Holy Spirit of God will come and He'll lift you and He'll carry you to new heights in your relationship with Christ, into new situations, and He'll carry you in the direction He wants you to go to empower you. Oh, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, Brother Reed, what is that power? Look at it just quickly. Notice it says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak. My dear friend, there is the power of utterance. God will empower your words. Do you know what? Just a word or two spoken in the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost of God is more effective than long, long, long speeches without the touch of God. Sometimes one word spoken under the anointing of God has more power than weeks worth of speaking. One word. It's the Holy Ghost of God, and He can do that. It's the power of speech. I marvel. I love history, any kind of history, no matter to me, American history or European, anything, or world history, Civil War, anything. I just like history, history of our state, those type of things. Anything I like. One of the marvels that marvel, and I know from a spiritual standpoint, I know what it was. Have you ever seen Hitler? You know what I'm talking about? I hope they still teach that in school. He stood about my height, maybe a little shorter than me, had a little mustache, and he commanded all this Nazi Germany, and it was he did it all with his voice. I know he had the Gestapo, and I know he had all the others, but he motivated them. It was all with his voice. He wasn't a great intellect. He wasn't a Charles Schwarzenegger. It was all with his voice. I believe he had the spirit of Antichrist. In fact, I know he did. But it came because of the power of his voice. He did all that with his voice. I watched him. I marvel how they walk, duck step. People, you can't even look at them. But then on the other side of the coin, I've been down to the Billy Graham Museum, and I've seen in when he was in Korea, and the largest group of gathering of people anywhere in the world ever to hear a message. I forgot how many millions of people came, and it was his voice. It was his voice. Under the anointing of God, we've been to New York City. We went with Tony and Taranda. And we've been there another time, but I stood in Times Square, and all these people everywhere. I mean, it's just amazing. People stood up, look at the lights. And you know what I was thinking about? If you ever go to Billy Graham Museum, you'll see that where that thing, you know, where the road divides, and they got that big sign in Times Square. There was one time in history, back in the 50s, I believe it was, there was a pulpit set right in the middle of Times Square, and people were that way, this way, as far as you could see, a great sea of people. Billy Graham had a revival there. I think it was in Madison Square Garden. It overran. They moved it out, and they had it in Times Square. They shut down the whole city of New York. And he stood and preached. God anointed him to preach. There's an anointing for speaking. And if you want to have power to touch lives, whether it's you or your children or anybody in your family or a friend at work anywhere, you must have the power of the Holy Spirit. You must have that. I'm not going to deal with all these. I've got about 12 of them. But I do want to show you this next. The Bible says in this same chapter, when Peter's preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God now, he said, "And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions." There's power of vision. Power of vision. The Holy Ghost of God put it in the heart of this church to build a church here. And you can talk with the pulpit committee, but when I came here, God burdened my heart. And I felt like God wants to come. And then we began to talk about the building. I sat over in a little rental house, Albert Gregory's little rental house over there one night. And I drew out basically the layout of this building. We looked at all kind of buildings. We did all kind of things. But honestly, before the Lord, I believe God showed me the design of this building. I had on a big yellow pad and laid that over there in the old fellowship hall after we'd looked at several different places. And the guys looked at it and they thought, well, that's it. And what they did, they actually enlarged what I'd drawn out. God did, but not just visions of like that, but I'm talking about a vision for what God could do. If you don't have the anointing of God, you'll have the most dark, dismal outlook in your nation and country of anybody you've ever seen. But if God the Holy Ghost is on you, you'll see. You'll see the difference in people, what God could do in their life. You'll see the potential of what God can do in a church. And God will give you vision for the future. Hopelessness and despair, that there's no way I'm going to ever get out of this situation. But if you look beyond that, you'll know that God's a great God. I'm through. The Bible said this in chapter number 2. And he said, when Peter preached, the Bible said, and they were pricked in their heart. There's the power of conviction. It's when the Holy Ghost of God does a work in somebody's heart and life. I generally want to see people saved. But nobody ever gets saved unless there's real, genuine conviction. Unless they've been pricked in their heart. And the only person who can do that is the Holy Ghost. He's the only one who could do that. He's the only one that can save. And he's the only one who can convict. And he's the only one who can convert. He's the only one who can cleanse. But we must have the Holy Ghost. I love singing, and we sing, but God uses singing to convict and bless. I saw it a while ago. It's the words, but it's the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God speaking to the heart. God speaks to the heart. He doesn't bypass the head, but he speaks to the heart. One last thing this morning, and next time we get together, I'll deal with the rest of you. The Bible says, in this passage of Scripture, then they were glad to receive the word, were baptized, and the same day there were about 3,000 souls got saved. Now, I want you to get this picture. Here's a group of people who have followed a renegade. His name was Jesus. The governmental system of that day hated him. The Romans hated Jesus. The Jewish religious system of that day hated him. In the eyes of the general population, because of the fake news being spread, they absolutely hated him. They thought he was a heretic. They thought he was a crazy man. And there was a group of people who gave themselves to him and followed him. They saw him arrested. They saw him spit upon. They saw his beard from his face, and they beat him and everything else. And then they finally crucified him like a common criminal. And these men were fearful, and they scattered. And then they were nowhere to be found. But then, after he was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, He came out of that grave. He's alive.
Yeah.
He appeared to this small group of people. They knew He was alive. They were, he is the leader, and they hated Him, they despised Him, and here are the people they just considered to be poor, ignorant fools. But on the day of Pentecost, something happened. The power of the Holy Ghost of God came on those men. Their fear left, their despondency left, their depression left, and power came in, and victory came in, and glory came in. And they came out of that place, the Bible said, praising God. And that little group of people were in such a great uproar that everybody in the marketplace, everywhere else, looked at them and thought they were drunk. And Peter stood up and said, "Men, brethren, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's just the third hour." But then he preached, and the rest of them preached. And these men who just a few days before had been the scum of the earth, and just off scouring and written off as lunatics, people listened. And 3,000 believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved that very day. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the power of salvation that comes from the Holy Spirit. We need Him. I need Him. He never ever leaves us or forsakes us. He's always with us. But that doesn't mean I'm always full of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean I'm always controlled by Him. But when I am, I have joy unspeakable. I have a peace of God that passes all understanding. And I have a power that's unexplainable. It's the Holy Ghost. Will you bow with me for prayer? Can I tell you what He can do? He can save to the uttermost all who call upon Him. There's not a person in the sound of my voice, man, woman, boy, girl, that He could not save, that He could not make a brand new creature in Christ Jesus and forgive all of your sin, change your life so drastically you wouldn't even know who you were. You wouldn't recognize yourself. You'd be a brand new creature. He can do that for you. How do you get that? I'd do anything for that. Well, there's only one thing you can do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you. If He's speaking to you, and He's telling you you're lost and you need to be saved, and He'll save you, He'll do what He said. You can do business with God this morning if you'll but just come and get around this old-fashioned altar. I'd invite you this morning, if you don't know if you died, that you'd go to heaven. Brother Randy Perry texted me this morning at 4:52 and said, "Tracy is finally in heaven." Could anybody say that about you? If not, why don't you come trust Christ this morning? There are men here who will pray with men, ladies who will pray with the ladies. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? Can I say to you, if you're here as a Christian, He can revive you. He can revive me. He can do something in my heart, your heart. I pray He'll do it. I pray the breath of heaven will blow across this place. I pray He'll do something different for me. I pray, God, that as we return on next Sunday, as we come back together on Wednesday, that there'll be a different air about me and about this meeting. God, the Holy Ghost has moved in our hearts and life. I'm just going to ask you this morning, if you just get before Him and say, "Oh, God, fill me. Fill me. God, do it." He may put His finger on things in my heart and life that we need to confess, get clean over. In fact, I know He'll do that before He fills us. But let's ask Him to start, will you? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will do that which no man can do. I pray You'd convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I pray, God, that somebody, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, somebody here in the building, in the media audience, this morning would run to Jesus. I pray, God, this morning they'd bow before You and humbly receive Your Savior. I pray, God, You'd do a work in the heart of Your people, that God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, will move. God, send revival. I pray the presence of the Holy Ghost of God to fill us. Lord, you're no respecter of persons. God, I pray we do what we ought to do to get ourselves in position to where you can bless us. God, I'm asking and begging, oh God, Holy Ghost of God, breathe on us, and we'll thank you for it.